Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking tonight about questions and answers in the aftermath of the deadly violence in Dallas related to police killings, also the situations in Louisiana and Minnesota. Hopefully, we can also talk about healing later on and what are the first steps towards that. My guests are Ron Hampton. He's a retired D.C. police officer and past executive director of the National Black Police Association. Norman Brooks is a D.C. firefighter now on administrative duty after posting on social media about and making some provocative statements about police officers involved in those shootings in Louisiana. He's accompanied by his attorney, Donald Temple, and also Dr. Greg Carr, chair of the Afro-American Studies Department here at Howard University. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Will, calling from Suitland, quickly, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I have an issue with the conservative agenda and how it's been enacted throughout all of the states. The fact that they would you have a fireman who's been basically laid off and demeaned because of a statement he made that was completely culturally competent and supportive of where we need to go. We need to vote, not just for the presidency, but for every state government that has a conservative that's acting out on a conservative agenda. That's a problem in this country. The fact that they completely not supported our president, in my it's treasonous.
Will, thank you so much for your phone call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tia, calling from Temple Hills. Thanks for calling, Tia. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to quickly say that the issue is that I think it's ridiculous that he would be put on desk duty or removed from his shift unless it's to protect him. Let me be real clear about this. The reason I'm saying that is because we as a nation have seen people, police officers, shoot and murder people. There's a psychological thing that happens behind that. And if your response to something like that is something out of pure emotion or just anguish, it's absolutely warranted. It's absolutely, we just sat there as a nation and watched them murder two people.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. And I think that unless they have put him on death duty for protection, because someone mentioned something about, you know, maybe the police officers wouldn't guard him. He never said he had anything against police officers. He just simply said, you know what, those two bad apples in the bunch should be cordoned off and they should be reprimanded and they should be arrested and charged for those crimes.
Well, Tia, thank you so much for your input. I appreciate your phone call. Dr. Carr, before the break, I made a comment about President Obama just announced that he's cutting his European trip short, coming back to the United States, planning on visiting Dallas next week. Your thoughts about that?
I think Barack Obama has failed black people roundly during his 8 years. And I think that he should be in Dallas, but I also think that he probably should have been in St. Paul, Minnesota, and he should have been in Baton Rouge. I understand him saying he's got to let the process work. But let's be very clear. Joe Walsh, who used to be a congressman in this country, basically called for a race war over the last 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And he's not in jail. He hasn't been indicted for anything. And in fact, nobody has said anything out of the Obama administration. You know, Ron Hampton was a distinguished member of law enforcement. Donald Temple is a lawyer who upholds the law. And I think that either of those brothers or Brother Norman Brooks, you or me for that matter, Harold, we talked about this night before last.
Mm-hmm.
Our lives could be taken right now. And I don't know that the President of the United States has done enough to be very clear about the fact that that is unacceptable in America. And quite frankly, if you listen to Rudolph Giuliani finally today, in fact, not only is it not unacceptable, it seems to be something that we turned a blind eye to. I don't like the idea that you shorten a foreign policy trip to deal with this issue when you didn't do it when two black men on tape, Harold, on tape, murdered in cold blood, the latest two, as Donald Temple has said. It just doesn't sit right with me, bro.
Thank you so much, Doc. I appreciate it. Ron, I want to ask you about, this is a policing thing. I was really, really struck at how this situation in Dallas was resolved. Let us say on the very face of it all the way down to the feet, that this man was extremely dangerous. There is no debating that the gunman in Dallas was extremely dangerous. But there've been a lot of people who've been talking about the fact that police had a robot that could deliver a bomb and take him out. One would suspect that if there had been a police sniper that got a clear shot, they would have done the same. Here's my question. What happened to tear gas? If you were in a position of authority, would you have handled it the same way?
Yes, I think so. But incendiary devices aren't new. If you remember Osage Avenue in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. back in the 80s when they dropped the bomb on the house with John Africa and them, they justified
the move fire.
They justified it then. So no, I think it could have been handled different. Chief Brown claimed that he was in a situation where the police couldn't get to him, and if the police got to him, they would be overly exposed in terms of danger. Well, just sending in the robot with a bomb, it seemed like to me that there could have been something between that and something else where they could have taken this individual and then maybe be able to talk to him, because
They did talk to him.
And well, because it broke down.
And the negotiations broke down. But my question is, did they need to blow him up?
I don't think so.
Could they have used tear gas or something else in 2016 that would have brought him out alive so that he could have been, quote unquote, brought to justice?
Well, I believe that there was something else that they could have used. You know, but this reminds me of some of them situations in the past when I was serving on the police department, when a police officer was wounded or shot, or when something happened to a police officer. And then it's almost like they send out an army to go get them. And it's, you know, everything counts. No resources. Every resource is available to go get this person because they hurt the police or they shot the police. Rather than to talk about bringing this person to justice and then somehow or another having a trial, that could have been part of it. But I'm inclined not to believe as a rule what Chief Brown talked about, because how do we know that that was the conversation between them? Maybe later on when they released the tape.
Yeah, we may never know.
But we may never know. Mm-hmm. So I don't have that kind of trust of police agencies. And even if the brother looked like me, but that's still, he's a police chief in Dallas. Okay. I wouldn't believe that here with Chief Lanier. So I would have just liked to hear and see this transcript later, but I would have liked to have known exactly what it was that the brother was talking about.
Norman, do you think your words are incendiary? Do you think they hurt, or do you think that it is just a product of what was going to be happening anyway with all of these videos, with all of the frustration that we've seen? You know, we can talk about frustration. We can talk about Charleston. We can talk about New York, and we can talk about Ferguson. Do you think your words were harmful?
Well, I want to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
When innocent people are murdered, I'm strictly about recourse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not about anyone assaulting or killing innocent people, whether it's innocent cops, innocent black people, innocent white people, innocent Spanish people. No one deserves to be killed unjustly. That's where I stand. So as far as my post goes, it was an emotional reaction to a horrific video that I just saw. But the idea behind it was based upon there being no recourse. And I could have used better words,
mm-hmm.
but my emotions took the best of me. But I'm strictly about recourse for the murder of innocent people.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Avis calling from Philadelphia. Thanks for calling. Avis, thanks. What's on your mind?
I would like to see us as a community to ask our brothers and sisters on the force, part of the FOP, to bring these things to light within their own precinct.
What do you mean by that?
Excuse me?
What do you mean by that, Avis?
What I mean is we all know police officers, every one of us. And as a community, why can't we ask them, the ones that are on the force, to see the atrocities perpetrated against the people any type of person. Why can't we ask them to stand up and to speak out?
Excellent point, Avis. Excellent point. Thank you so much for your phone call. Mark, calling from Fresno, California. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you know, I have a problem with the earlier caller spoke about black-on-black crime, mm-hmm. she was alluding to. But you know what? To me, that's a myth, because black folks kill black folks, white folks kill white folks, Asians kill Asians. You know, statistics show that people kill people they even live with, they know, right. You know, to a majority. So I hate that argument of black-on-black crime when we're, you know, it's just like any other community.
Well, let me ask Donald about that. Why are we so sensitive when it comes to black-on-black crime, Donald? I mean, what's your thought about that? If what Mark is saying is true, and I believe it is, why is it that we seem to be all the more sensitive to that?
I think that the sensitivity is appropriate, but I think there is a flaw in the way that people perceive it. One is, I think that people are insane if they think that black people are not concerned about black-on-black crime. That's madness. Black people are concerned, but there's a difference when that's a social issue than when the state sanctions right. and embraces the killing right. of innocent people. I think what Norman said, without recourse, when you see time and time again, if I watch TV and I see a man who is in New York and he's being choked on TV and he's saying, I can't breathe, and he dies. And then there's a question of whether or not there's an indictment or a Sandra Bland. You see it time and time again. So I think that people belittle the concern. Every time there's a killing in Chicago or New York and Philadelphia, who do you think is concerned? Who is affected? Black people are incredibly concerned. But what black people are distinguishing is that when the state sanctions it.
And I think one of the other things that often goes unmentioned when you're talking about state sanctioned violations like this is that these individuals, these police officers, these sheriff's deputies are supported by your tax dollars.
Right.
And so I think that, and when you talk about the money issue, which also deals with the emotional issue, that is certainly the difference between, some gangbanger, drug dealer, brother on the street who robs your grandmother. Okay. And so, yeah, I agree. I agree that, and that is one of the issues as it relates to police violence against individuals. Quickly, Ron, go right ahead.
The black on black crime issue is also an attempt and has been a successful one in terms of the continuation of the criminalization of black people, that they are criminals themselves against themselves. So when police come in there and kill them, they must have done something to deserve it. As if in the Trayvon Martin case, we talked about in the Brown case in Ferguson,
when Michael
they talked
Brown,
about
yeah.
what he was doing, and even in this case now with Mr. Field, they're talking about something that happened in his past and history that has nothing to do with him being shot down in cold-blooded murder by a police officer.
Gary, calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Thanks for calling. Quickly, what's on your mind?
Yes, I remember when the KKK and the white supremacy stated that they would infiltrate any facet of the law that they could. So we have some of them walking around with the uniforms on, in the law enforcement, in the jail cells, all over the as far as law. So you know, I got a problem with that. We need an infrastructural thing where we govern them.
Well, I appreciate your comment. We need to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. We're going to talk about resolutions and even possibly healing. How do we fix this situation? Is it too early to talk about healing? Lines are still open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about resolutions and healing in the aftermath of the deadly police-related violence this week. Dr. Carr, talk to me briefly about resolutions to this problem. If you had a magic wand in your druthers, what's the fix?
Well, I don't have an American fix, quite frankly, Harold. Mm-hmm. After 300 years, I think that the best we can do as communities of African people is to organize in our communities, take firm control of our institutions that include our education institutions, our cultural institutions, and as people who live in the United States of America of any background, we can decide and then act, and that means being involved with electoral politics at a local level. That means doing things of goodwill at a local level. We can decide that this ends today. We cannot continue to condone the type of rhetoric and the type of action by officials which does not address this problem. And that includes the local administrators, but it goes all the way up to the president of the United States of America, and I don't care what color he is. But I think that's where we have to do this. It begins at the local level, and it begins with us understanding that all lives certainly matter, but that black lives have been subject to this kind of violence since our first visit to these shores 400 years ago, brother.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Zori, calling from Springfield, Virginia. Zori, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. I just wanted to make a statement about what has been occurring in the black community. I do feel that a lot of the police killings are provoked reactions of what has been occurring for centuries. And I do feel like as black people, we are tired of having to deal with the stereotypes and having to deal with the fact that just being black in itself is sometimes viewed as a crime.
So who is being provoked? Are you saying the police are being provoked because of our history, or are you saying that we are being provoked because of our history?
I feel like we are being provoked. I feel like there is not enough police officers who are trying to serve and protect us because of how the system is designed. And it, to me, and to a lot of other black people, the system is just designed to control a population of people. It was not designed to benefit us. It was designed to control every aspect of our lives. And that, in that case, police officers are doing that, even if it means killing us off.
Interesting.
And so they're deciding that they're going to take part in a mass genocide. And that is what happens, whether it's in our school systems, whether it's in our jails, our prisons. Everything that we as black people represent is considered as dangerous.
Well, let me see what Ron has to say about that, Zori, and thank you for your phone call. Ron, do you agree with what she's saying? Is today the explosion of that ticking time bomb?
I think so. And I think we've seen several examples of it. I remember when Michael Brown was shot and killed in Ferguson, and what I wanted to do was to wait until the Washington Post and other newspapers had done some background work, and come to find out there was some background work, that there was three black police officers on the police department, that unemployment was out of the city. There were no one black on the city council. So there were these other social economic issues that exist there that was like gasoline fumes in a room waiting for a match to be lit. And listening to Mr. Fields' sister and aunt the other day on television, they were talking about this community they live in of 6,000 people, that 500 of them are black and Somalian, and they are being picked on and profiled by the police. That's the backstory. So I have to agree with Professor Carr, too, for the simple reason that if we can talk about all the reforms we want, but if we don't deal with those socioeconomic issues, better schools, better housing, if we do one or the other and don't do all, then nothing is going to change. But we have to create a situation where community is in control of the kind of things that impact our life, because we're not winning this war.
Okay. Chris, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going, Herb? I wanted to bring in the point of how the police are being militarized, how they've always been militarized. So I feel if they're going to be militarized, we've got to hold them to the same accountability that we hold our military to if they were to kill a local national in Iraq, Afghanistan, or what have you. So in the military, you shoot a local national in the back while running, you go to Leavenworth. If you shoot them before they even point a gun at you, you're going to Leavenworth. If you shoot a local national, period, without the threat of harm to you, you're going to jail. And it should be the same rhetoric when it comes down to policing. We don't have any laws to law-abiding on our policing. So if we don't have any laws against the police, they'll always get off. They'll always get away with it.
Hmm.
So if we
No, thank you, Chris. I appreciate your phone call. I do want to ask Ron this question also, because yesterday in Dallas, before the shooting happened, there was a huge protest. It was peaceful.
Right.
The police officers were in what was described as summer gear, not riot gear. And it's been said that last night is when they really needed riot gear, not to protect themselves against the protesters, but to protect themselves against that unknown factor. So now, as more protests happen this weekend, how should police dress? How should they address this issue? Should they be in riot gear? Should they be in summer clothes? What?
They should be in summer clothes, because the police are a part of the community as mm-hmm. much as the community is a part of the police. And so what's going to happen is that if they go back to being dressed in riot gears and with sticks, and it's going to agitate the situation. I think Dallas's approach to the demonstration was the right approach, because the police are there to guarantee the right to demonstrate, the First Amendment, and all the other rights that exist in the Constitution. The police are there to guarantee that people can peacefully demonstrate in terms of what's going on. So I think that was the right uniform, because they got police officers standing back in the corners and whatnot that mm-hmm. can respond to the thing. But if we come out there dressed the way the police approached the people in Ferguson after Michael Brown, then the same thing is going to happen in all the community, because there's no need for that.
Interesting point. L. Larry calling from San Francisco. What's on your mind? L. Larry, are you there?
I am here.
Go right ahead, please. Yes.
Hi. I was calling just to make a comment in regards to the issue surrounding the shootings that happened in Dallas.
So please, go ahead. Make your point. We're running low on time. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, basically what it is that media has a huge part playing in the whole way that society sees African-American people. For one, pride runs low and ignorance runs high, let alone those educating themselves about the judicial system and how the judicial system is treating African-Americans. The media has downplayed African-American people so bad that a lot of people, other races, don't care. They see African-Americans in such a dim light that they're bad people, that, you know, they're just deserving of bad treatment, that most of them are on welfare and not, you know, worthy of good life, you know, being treated fairly. And so when these things happen, you know, these things are overlooked. Judicial system. You know, you have so many young men in and out of the prison system and, you know, juvenile system. You know, it's like, it's just a complete downplay.
Well, Larry, I appreciate your comment, and thank you. Thank you so much for participating in this conversation. Some final thoughts from my guest here, Dr. Carr. Your final thoughts as we look beyond this week.
This is why Black media matters. This is why Daily Drum matters and HUR Voices matters. Stay safe, brothers and sisters. And my final thought is that we must continue to struggle, but we have to protect ourselves and stay safe. So I'm just glad that you've had this conversation and you're continuing it, Harold.
Mm-hmm. Ron, your final thoughts beyond this week?
Well, I agree, too, because if it was not for the Black media, if it was not for other individuals in the Black media to really allow the discussion and the debate that take place, we would be totally left out of the process. So, you know, this is helping us tremendously, and we need to continue to do it.
But beyond the media, beyond the microphone, for those people who don't have the advantage of a microphone in front of them, whether it has to do with the community or the police, right. What do you think?
Well, I think that we have to have these conversations in our community. If we don't, then we're going to be taken advantage of. So we have to take the knowledge and the experiences that we have and organize and build capacity in our communities, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to control the issues in our community. There are actually projects going on in the country where we are backing the police out of our community, because we know for a fact that a large percentage of the time the police come and answer calls in our community, we end up being victimized rather than being assisted. So what we need to do is don't call the police and take care of it ourselves. And we can do that in our community. We have the resources. We have the capacity to do those issues. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Norman, your thoughts?
Yes, sir. I have just three final thoughts that I'd like to articulate. Number one, in reference to my situation, I'm a young, concerned black family man that's seeing these situations just get out of control. And it gets frustrating at times. And, you know, it can cause these type of reactions. And, you know, they need to be controlled, but and they need to be articulated in a better way.
Go ahead.
Number two, as far as the issues that we face in our community, I think they start because we don't have an economic base. And we're not really operating the way other ethnic groups operate in order to advance ourselves.
And number three?
And number three, you were talking about black media earlier. There's a documentary out done by all black cast, black producer. You have never seen the commercial on BET. Hidden Colors 4, it's the number one documentary, period, on Amazon right now. Mm-hmm. It's a four-part documentary. All I have to say is I recommend every person of color in this country to watch Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Donald, 20 seconds real quick before we wrap up.
I think it's all about organization and institutionalization of values, cultures, and having a framework where the we becomes more defined and where we're not just talking. We always say we need to do, we need to do, we need to identify the we, and that we equals a formula. It's people who share culture, share values. It is not always black. It transcends black. There's a human formula associated with that kind of framework, and that will move us into the 21st century. That's where we need to be so that we can command the kind of accountability that brings us into some type of real meaningful social empowerment equation.
I want to thank all of my guests, Ron Hampton, Norman Brooks, Dr. Greg Carr, also Donald Temple. Thank you all for participating. That is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, July 8th. I'm Harold Fisher for News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bronte Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, engineer Craig Fowler.